You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Jimmy from Boston. Bisque, whining and complaining about some girl on the school bus from the 1980s. I grew up around the same time as you did, kid. We didn't call that bullying. We called it dating. And then he cries to his parents about some spitballs. Shit, I had a dude pull a gun on me after school back in the day. And my mother still hasn't heard word one about that shit. You're all traumatized by Kim Kong. Get over it, kid. Later.
I dedicate this record to Carnival to all you brothers taking long trips down south, Virginia, Baltimore, all around the world.
And your girl gets this message. You ain't coming. We're back. What's going on, gents? Luby Lou, but of course, Sebastian Manna.
What's up? Pretty funny, Jimmy from Boston message there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have an opinion about that. I've hung out with Jimmy on more than one occasion. He brought up, I had a gun pulled on me. Lou, do you remember that? We were hanging out in Jersey, the parking lot of Bananas. Babe! When you have a gun pulled on you.
Yes, he compared himself to the movie The Town a few times.
Oh, yeah, with a couple. If he has enough in him, he throws a Goodwill Hunting reference in there here and there, too. But apparently having a gun pulled on you is the equivalent of seeing the Grand Canyon. It changes a man.
Yeah, I haven't said. I mean, have you ever come close to any type of switchblade or a gun or anything like that pulled on you?
I had a gun put to my head, but not by somebody that was going to hurt me. It was a friend of mine who was a young cop, and we were drinking. We were way young. We were drinking in a bar. To his defense, I kept going, let me see your gun, bro. You gotta let me see your gun. And then finally, we were in the bathroom downstairs at the bar, and he goes, you want to see my gun here? And he pulls it out, and he puts it right up for a second. And then I'm like, we were drunk, and I'm like, dude, what the fuck? That was not funny. And then he was kind of weirded out that he did that. He's like, that was, what the fuck? I was stupid.
Yeah, that could have went south really quick. It's one of those stories you hear on the news. Two guys drunk one night. One gets his head blown off. You know, one of those mistakes.
Yeah. Nobody would care, rightfully so. How about you, man? Do you ever have anything pulled on you or threatened with a weapon?
No, I never felt at all in fear of my life by another individual. No weapons, no guns, no knives, bats, none of that stuff. I think we talked about this before. The closest thing I've ever really came to an altercation was getting clotheslined from across the street when I was walking home drunk one night in college. I was attacked.
Really? I don't recall that story.
That was me and my buddy Eric Henning. Couple other guys were walking home from like a diner about 2 o'clock in the morning down Addie Glidden Road for those Northern Illinois University alum. And out of nowhere, bunch of guys, corner of my eye, ran across the street and I turned to my left. Next thing you know, I saw a right forearm coming right at me, Jimmy Snuka style, laid me out on the sidewalk. And some other guy literally LT'd my buddy Eric into the bushes, broke his collarbone, and they ran off.
Whoa, man. And this was like not premeditated in any capacity?
I don't know. I don't know if they were just like, they had to be drunk and just,
oh, you but
know.
You didn't know. No beef. There was no prior beef.
No beef. No. Just innocent freshmen walking home from a drunken party night stuffed with beer nuggets. And next thing you know, laid out on Annie Glidden, just down for the count, got up, bewildered. Saw some of my friends hiding behind a bush. And that's a little disheartening when shit goes down, you really start seeing who your friends are. I mean, me and my buddy were laid out. We came to, and two guys came around the bushes. I'm like, yeah, come on. Come on, man. Where were you?
You want to hear me say it? You want to break me down? All right, I'm afraid. For the first time in my life, I'm afraid.
Well, I mean, was it such... It sounded at first you're telling the story like it was such a quick attack that they were gone in a heartbeat. But now you're telling me it lasted long enough for your friends to make a conscious choice to hide behind the hedges?
I think, and this was not confirmed, I think they saw it coming and decided to split before we even could tell what was going on. And then came out of the woodwork when the guys took off and left. So I think they saw it, hid. We got clotheslined, yeah. And then came out, and they act like they didn't see anything. Like, oh, what happened? We were up there. I mean, you weren't up there. You were buried in a bush.
And you know why? Because you're a big, fat pussy.
Yeah, man. So what was the aftermath for you? Were you guys just kind of like, what the fuck was that all about, man?
Yeah, totally. What was that? What's going on? And my friend is one of my best friends. His name is Eric. Comes from the Jewish faith. And you know how the Jewish son and the mothers are like tight.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like
really tight. And next day his mother was up at the college, ice in his collarbone. He got ripped to shreds for about 3 weeks. Had his mommy come up. Get out of here.
Come on. What are we? That's a bit much. No, so what's up, man? What are we doing here? What's up?
This is the Pete and Sebastian show. Just let me introduce the show here. My name is Sebastian Maniscalco, comedian. Pete Corielli, comedian. And Luke, give me the pronunciation of your last name. I'll tell you what I've been calling you for the last 4 years.
Go ahead. What have you been calling me?
Witzicki?
Oh, my God. No, it's it's Witzki. Witzki.
Oh, I put a Zicky.
No. I kind of like Sebastian's pronunciation better. Witzicki?
Sounds like a Polish relief pitcher from the 70s.
DJ Blue.
So Witzicki is here, and we get together once a week on Friday on Sirius XM Radio. Raw Dog Channel 99. You could pick up the show on Apple Podcasts as well. And basically, this show is myself and Pete kind of sharing our personal lives, what we dealt with in the last week, professionally and personally. And there you have it. So this week here, what's happening,
bro? What's your take on? When you're somewhere office-wise or something, and somebody throws something, like a guy throws a piece of paper or something towards the garbage can and misses, and you're closest to it, and it lands right by your foot, and then you gotta make that decision, do I bend down and pick up his garbage?
That's a no-brainer, man.
You don't pick it up?
No, you just lean over, and I don't really do the two-finger, the middle finger and the index finger, almost like a little crane, you know? And I go down and I prong it, and I just, like, flick it in the garbage. It's like a no-effort flip. Like, hey, I got it. You know, like, you're not really giving any bend to it. Like a leaning flick.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to make it. Bro, that's hilarious.
I do it every time.
Every time? Really?
Yeah. No, I'm never... I don't do a stare and take off on it. I do a lean over. I'll look at the guy, kind of give him a nod, and you know, give him an assist.
Can that guy then do another toss in the same work day, and you'll do that same move again, or is there a limit to how many times you'll do the pickup by the garbage can for people tossing?
I should say I'll do the pickup if. It's around me or the proximity of me. I won't go out of my way to get it.
Yeah,
it's gotta
like,
be the 360 degree radius of me leaning and stretching in order for me to get it. But I'll do it every time.
I've moved from that spot because I was tired. I didn't want to be that guy.
Oh wow! The guy made you move your seat.
No, but I've been in that position where I'm like, oh, I don't want to sit here because I've sat here before, and you end up playing Moses Malone for about 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. I love the guy that does the sky hook from the back of the room, that guy.
I used it to become the leading scorer in the history of the NBA. There has to be something about it that works.
Oh yeah. So, yeah, there we go. Now the motors are running.
If you're gonna give me one of those, I gotta give you one of those back, kinda. Yeah. It's an etiquette question, and about 3 weeks ago, I forgot to bring this up on the show. A friend of my wife, friend of mine too, had said that she had our wedding gift. Now, Lana and I got married 4 years ago.
Wow, it's already been 4 years.
4 years, yeah. So. She said she has our wedding gift. And I'm like, and I told her, I go, what were you looking to see happen? That we'd make it in order for you to give us the, don't you think 4 years is a little too long to be given a gift?
I mean, obviously it is supposed to be within a year, but on the flip side, I like that move. I feel like when you go to a wedding, there should be some sort of tradition where basically the idea is it's a promise that 4 years from now, if you two are still married, I'll buy you a wedding gift.
I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Earn it.
Well, if you go in saying that, fine. But it's been 4 years and it's like, did you just now go out and get us a gift? So now it's on the text thread with myself, her boyfriend, Lana, all four of us are in a text thread, and she had said that she's got this gift, and I go, I'm sorry, but 4 years, I got to mention this on the cast. Do you mind? She goes, no, go right ahead. She's kind of laughing about it. So this was 3 weeks ago. Now, she has been over here twice since she had mentioned she has a gift. And I haven't seen her because I've been out of town or for whatever the reason, haven't been home. So I said on the text message thread, no gift? She goes, oh, I forgot it's in my trunk. Now, her daughter had a birthday recently.
Mm-hmm.
We gave the daughter a gift. So why? My question is, why are we remembering to give gifts? And this thing's still in the trunk. Do you think she's even got the gift?
When she said it was in the trunk, was this at your house? Did she have a vehicle there?
I do not know. But if it's in the trunk of the car, why isn't this gift being dropped off after you said that you have a gift for us?
What's another 3 or 4 days now? It's been 4 years. She's probably like, it's been 4 years. I forgot it. It's in the other car in the trunk. I'll get it to him next week.
No, know? I understand your point. But for me, it's like I didn't know that there was a gift coming. But now that I know that there's something coming, I want to know what the hell took 4 years to get. Like, this gift better be worth the wait.
We talked about this woman before, I think, because every time she came up and said she had a gift, you were always having to say, oh, all right, you know.
No, different woman.
Wow, this happens to you a lot, man.
Well, this happened to me, and I mentioned it, I'd say, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago on a show about Lana buying the wine, and I thought it was my gift from my mother and father-in-law for my birthday. I mentioned that on the show. And I still haven't gotten the damn wine. Now, I want to reach out to them. We talked about this 4 weeks ago. I want to reach out to them just to make sure they did not pay for the wine and it did not get here. That's my sole purpose of doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I sent you or I told you you were going to get a gift and you didn't get it, I would find it hard-pressed for you not to go, did you send it? Because I didn't get the thing.
Yeah, no, I would say that. If you said you sent some, I'd be like, yeah, I still didn't get what you sent. And by the way, I got the video of your daughter. I actually haven't played it yet, but I see that little bouncy thing. I want to discuss that. Bro, you can't be sending those videos to Watt in the middle of the football season. You can't be softening this guy up right now. He's an animal. He can't be looking at beautiful babies bouncing in bouncy bounces.
I sent the video before the game, and the guy had a stellar game.
You sent the video before the Thursday's game?
Yeah, I sent one before Thursday's game, and I just didn't even know they were playing on Thursday. I'm so out of touch with the football season this year. By the way, speaking of Watt, why did he tackle that guy at the end of the game? You said something about shenanigans. What were they doing?
The other team was trying to lateral the ball. It was the last play of the game, and they were trying to do that lateral in it all around to try and get into the end. And they were, making a little progress. And then the guy threw it Watt's way. Boom, done. Can we all go home now and enjoy the weekend?
He can't even touch me. He's stumbling over his own feet.
So where are we at with this gift? Did you end up getting it?
No, still out on the gift. And still no wine. So I got to make a few phone calls here and see what the hell's going on with these gifts.
Nothing's getting through.
Nothing's getting through. Nobody's getting these subtle hints over the radio. I mean, God, come on, man.
You can't give a gift after a year. You know that.
After a year? And what happens after a year?
You just can't give it. That's the cutoff.
You can't give it?
Well, you can give it's it with an apology.
That's the cutoff?
You guys, this is a beautiful bottle of wine.
We can't take it.
It's an afterthought, and it's late.
I'm on video right now, and I don't know if it's the chair or the shirt, but I look about 273 pounds.
Oh, you're not liking the angle, huh? Yeah. Wow. How you doing, though, with the training? I know you've been training lately.
I've been training. Yesterday, I went to go, and, man, this guy is like a silent assassin. He's not the type of guy that does the up, 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 up. This guy doesn't even count. Like, you'll just start doing an exercise, and when he feels you're ready, he'll go, okay, switch it up. Like, there's nothing to go to. You know, normally he goes, okay, do 15, do 20. This guy don't say any of that. This guy just keeps silent. And you're like, in your head, you're like, how many does this guy want me to do? But you want to keep going because you don't know what he's got in his head.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that technique.
Oh, why? You want to know where you're headed?
Yeah, because if I don't know how long he's going to make me do that, then I might start off slower so that I can counterbalance if he's going to make me do it longer. So then,
I hear that.
I mean? I'm not going all out. If I knew Jerry wants 50, then I'm going hard at about 30 in because I know I got 20 more. If I don't know if Jerry's going to stop me at 50 or 100, I'm doing slow until...
Slow.
I don't know, man. That's an interesting concept. They all got to have their own little, technique to separate. That's like, I feel like the angle, you got to have your own technique.
Well, this guy's technique definitely works for me because I guess this is why we got the video. I'm doing the stir the ball technique on the video, and your abs just are on fire. I woke up this morning. You ever have a Charlie horse in your stomach?
I don't know. No, I mean, it's sore, but I can't say like a Charlie horse.
Yeah, this is where your rib feels like it falls out. I had one of those this morning, and we were doing lunges yesterday, and forget it, the legs are shot. They're shot, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I need some type of lubrication on my joints.
Yeah, but just working out in general is good for you. I mean, I got in there today for the first time in about 2 weeks since the mouth pull, which was throbbing, but I won't bring up my tooth. People frowned upon that.
Does it still stink?
No. It's starting to heal nice. I went back to the dentist, got it cleaned. That's all fine, but there's still a slight ache. But yeah, no more of that. But I went to a different gym out here on Long Island in my chain, and there was a guy next to me after I got out of shower, and I'm still wet, and I got the towel around me, and I like to go over to my area, and then I do a quick dry, and then when no one's looking, I do a quick put the underwear on. You're not going to see me naked, not at this age of my life. Or else
we've talked about this in the past. Yeah, we talked.
Yeah, but
about
not anymore. Not, I reached a new age, guy. You once you reach a certain age, as a man, you don't want to be seen naked anymore. You know what I mean?
So you're doing my move. I was doing 4 years ago with the underwear slip on while the towel's still on the waist. I think everybody thinks like me. Like, why would anybody want to see me naked? So let me just keep the towel on. I'll keep the towel on. I'll put the underwear under the towel. I don't take the towel off. I put the underwear under the towel.
No, dude. Oh, yeah. Have you, oh, my. That's borderline. Class. Have you ever seen Point Break? It's a hot chick move. For a man to do that move in a locker room, that's gayer than just waving your penis around for a half a second. I mean, it's...
You're telling me the 3 seconds that you're naked...
Yes.
Makes it more of a man,
yes,
than me not even showing a damn thing at all.
The difference between holding a man's hand for a second longer firmly and looking him in the eye as opposed to giving him a fish handshake with no look, that's the same difference between what you're doing and what I'm doing in the locker room when we change. That 3 second exposure is just letting everybody know at the end of the day, I got a dick. Exactly. I do that move 90% of the time, but today I purposely did a quick naked just for a beat because just to try and make the guy next to me uncomfortable, because I came back to my locker wet and I pulled out my stuff to change. Now he's next to me and he's one of these guys that does, you know, he's just getting the stuff out of his locker. He doesn't work out. He doesn't shower. I see him getting his stuff. So I'm like, all right, he's going to get out of my way any second. Then he stands there, and he's looking at something on his phone. And I'm in my head, I'm like, guy, once you're done with any locker room activity, beat it, guy. Take it outside. What are you, lingering? What is this, a nightclub to you? And then another guy walks in who's got a locker across from mine. Hey, Bill. Oh, hey, Mike. How was that Roger Waters concert? Lou, apparently he's doing shows lately.
I just played Madison Square Garden.
All right, that's what he must have been at. And he's, oh, it was great. A little political, though. and they're talking about the concert, and he's not leaving the area, and I'm really getting annoyed. But now I'm just quietly doing my thing, getting dressed in front of him. Like I said, that's where he gave a quick flash. Didn't make a move or anything. But here's an interesting thing that happened. A third guy's doing his locker, and then the guy next to me who won't leave, he's talking about the Roger Waters concert, and he's saying, as I was telling you, that's political. And he goes, and I've seen, let me tell you, some political concerts. I've seen Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. You don't get much more political than they used to be back in the day. You know who they are, right? And then he turns to the other guy. You know who Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young are, right? And the other guy's like, you know, 20-something-year-old kid. And he's like, no, I don't know who they are. And the guy he's talking to goes, I heard of them, but I don't know the music. I don't really know who they are. And and the old guy next to me who was doing all the talking goes, oh, they're a real good band. And then they all go back to talking more. And I'm getting pissed that he wouldn't leave this area. So now I'm finally dressed that I'm getting ready to leave. And I don't know why, but at one point I decide to say, when there's a lull in that conversation, this is what I mean to say. I think the craziest thing is that these two don't even know who Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young are. That's the craziest thing. Because they were talking about all the crazy stuff in the world. So as they're all talking, there's a lull, and I go, I think the crazy thing is, and then before I could keep going, they all keep talking over me. And then I realize they didn't even hear me, that I was coming to join their conversation. They didn't even hear me about to join in. And I'm like, do I launch it again, or do I just bail and do the back away? So
yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst feeling when you chime in and your chime falls on deaf ears.
You're out.
So yeah, the cards was out. I'm like, oh man, this is embarrassing. Because I feel like one of the three heard and goes, oh, look at him, he just tried to get in. Look at him. Is he gonna do it again? Is he gonna? Because you've been that guy. You ever hear a guy try to get in? You go, look at him trying to double dutch into this. And then they'll say the same thing three different times. I think the crazy thing is. Oh, man. I don't even know why I was doing it. I couldn't stand the guy, and now I'm going to give a nice, funny chirp and join in with him? God.
Well, if you do that and they don't hear you, do you chirp in again with the same thing that they didn't hear, or do you vary it?
That's a great question. I was gonna, if I came back in, which I was thinking about, I was gonna vary the opening just so that they might go, oh, I guess he wasn't trying to say something before. Because if I come back with the same opening, then they're going to know, oh, yeah, look at him trying again with his little, thing.
I'm with you on that locker room situation. I think the locker room is specifically designed for you to kind of get in and out. You take your bag out, you put your cologne on or whatever, and then you get the hell out of there. You don't sit there on the bench and use it as an office to return emails or, for that matter, start talking in between lockers about concerts. You take that outside, no?
Yeah, you take it outside to the little juice area, which is my next thing. Do you ever buy a protein thing at your gym, like the little drink afterwards when the gyms
I do because the gym that I go to has a really nice juice bar. They make like protein shakes and that stuff, and it's pretty good. So normally I don't go to some rogue juice bar and get that. I have to know it and like the product.
Yeah. I usually got a cup of coffee. I leave it in the car. I come back. It's still at room temp. Start sipping again. But, yeah, I see all those guys that get shower up and then get their juicy juice on the way out.
Fucking Italian people. How do we miss out on this? What? Fucking espresso, cappuccino. We invented this shit. And all these other cocksuckers are getting rich on.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
And it's not just the money. It's a pride thing. All our food. Pizza, calzone, buffalo mozzarella, olive oil. These fucks had nothing. They ate Poutine before we gave them the gift of our cuisine. But this is the worst. This expressive shit.
Take it easy.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
Hold the phone.
Call now. 866-4-RAW-DOG.
Leave a message for the show. It's a nice touch.
Are you reading to your daughter yet?
Yeah.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Now, I would imagine you think you're a good reader with the kid, right?
Well, you know, I'm saving it a little bit for when she could really appreciate it. You know, it's more of a build for me. Like, I'm giving her some, you know, some comedy and peppering it in here and there, but kind of saving it when she's really going to enjoy it.
Well, that's interesting because I'm curious because I read to my daughter, obviously, every weekend when I'm home. And I was reading again last weekend, and I was just thinking to myself, I have to bring this up with you. I'm like, because I'm good. I do a different voice for every character, and then when I go back to the narrating voice, that's a distinct, friendly voice, different from the rest.
Wow.
I pride myself on not messing up a line, like on the lawn. I don't do that, just smooth going the whole way, no distractions. And I was saying to myself, I bet you probably think you're pretty good, too, at it.
No, I know I'm good. I just haven't put it in the sixth gear yet.
Oh, wow. I was thinking next week. That's what I sent you in an email. Next week.
Oh.
I want to do a read-off guy.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it. Love to get into a children's book. Totally with you. I just did Sam I Am, Green Eggs and Ham. I pulled one of those for story time at about 7 p.m. on a Tuesday.
That's a good one. That's a good workout.
Oh, man. Talk about fluctuation, tone, pitch, animation. I point at the characters in the book so she sees the green eggs and the ham, and then I tell her the eggs come from chickens. I give like more information sometimes that's even in the book.
I like the pointing with the finger. I don't do that. I should do more of that. Go like look over here. But I've also done the add-on information, and I've had Sadie say, just read the book, Dad. Just you can do it. So I've been told to stay on point. But I like the pointing move. This is a move I add, too. Once I have my daughter on the left-hand side, and I'm reading the left-hand side of the page, my right hand is already digging the middle finger underneath to the next page. So that when I'm done with the right page, right to the last word, there's a quick flip onto the... And as I start reading the next page, the right finger is already digging on the right side. So there's no pause and thumbing.
Seamless.
It is. But sometimes I've been close to finishing the page and I can't get my finger under there. And I'm like, oh my God, am I going to have to do it to lick the finger and tell her to hold on a second and pull them apart? It's sloppy.
Totally lose. You lose your momentum. I like your move with that quick flip. There is no pause, no awkward fumbling. Something I discovered on the read is when we're done with the book, I even go to the back of the book and just point out what's on the back. I feel like I use the book in its entirety. You know, like I'll show her the cover. I'll read the title. I'll give her the author's name. Everything on the page is explained. It could be a small tree in the background. I go, that's a red tree. Look at that tree. Now, I don't know if she's picking this up. I'm just training myself so when she is Sadie's age, I'll have a well-scripted story on the read.
Well, I mean, right. Well, you're like the rookie cop making all the other cops look lazy because, you know, you're going, turning the book over, pointing out the back. I'm at the point now where I've tried to, like, do the 3-page flip, see if she's following the story enough to know I just skipped 3 pages. And she's like, Daddy, you skipped a page. I'm like, shit. She's following the story too close because I can't wait to get to the end. Flip. Done. Lights out. You're turning it over. Oh, look at the back cover. There's another bear on the tree there.
I don't want story time to end. My daughter's looking at me going, shut it down. I need to get to bed.
And the father bear, he said, somebody's been sleeping in my bed. And the little kid bear said, somebody's been sleeping in my bed. And there she is. Thereby, he pulls back the covers and thereby exposing her to the, you know, public. See? Come on, eat your cereal before it sinks. Hurry up.
Then what happened to Goldilocks?
Happened to her, I'm not exactly
sure. Busted for trespassing and got 30 days in the
car. Oh, it's real nice, Paul.
I couldn't read last week. I sat down to read and she's like, that tooth is devastating, Dad. And I was like, nice.
Oh, that tooth, man. We got a lot of flack on the tooth.
I know. Lately, I've noticed with the listeners, they are really dialing in after each show about the things they're into and the things they're not. Like, you know, we are not your jukebox people. I will not be ignored, Dan. You know what movie that's from?
No, what is it? Lou, you know what that is?
No.
You don't know what's that's that? From? Not the jukebox part. I just said that. I'm just saying we're not the jukebox. But I felt like I sounded like Glenn Close from Fatal Attraction when she said, I will not be ignored, Dan.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, okay. Now I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, that's very obscure.
I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
You don't get it. You don't get it.
I'm pulling back on child talk. I'm pulling back on what I think they're going to find boring, apparently. Teeth talk is right up there.
I had a really good time with teeth talk. Yeah, I have gotten some message in regards to... you know, talking a little too much about the kids. I understand those people that don't have kids that might feel alienated from the conversation because they can't relate to certain things that we're going through. But what we try to do is give a broad strokes so people could, you know, every walk of life kind of relate to the cast.
If each 100 episodes of our show or each 50 were a season, then I'd say... The people are the same with you, though. Now that you have a kid, you're just contradicting everything you said in season 2 of the Pete and Sebastian show.
It's all. It's what makes it fun.
I know. It's hilarious.
A bunch of contradiction.
But they go, "Is it lost on me?" And Sebastian said he'd never do that. And I'm like, hilarious, man.
That's why it's funny.
I was handing out chocolates on the plane, which was hilarious.
Oh, God. I got something to announce on the chocolates. Just a teaser. Can't get into anything just yet. It's coming soon, though. Me and chocolates are in business.
You're in the chocolate business, huh? Is that gonna be your beats? Like Dr. Dre does beats to headphones? No.
No, I'm selling chocolates, bro.
I was at my beach house, and Judy came running up from her beach house and came in. She just looked at me and said one thing, chocolates. And she left. 3 days later, she was in my office with a bunch of chocolates. I'm sampling chocolate with the chocolates. Is that what you're doing, bro? You selling chocolates, Maniscalco sweets?
No. I'm not producing anything as far as the chocolates, but I got a big announcement coming up for the holidays, and it has to do with chocolate. So,
all right,
I want to put that in the listener's cap for now. So,
all right, stay tuned, folks.
Stay tuned for chocolate update. I was thinking of having a party in Las Vegas October 8th after I do my show. And it's for about 45 to 50 people. Now, mind you, this is friends, family, and business associates all going to be in Las Vegas for my show at the Coliseum. And I'm thinking, after the show, it's an 8 o'clock show. And if you came to an 8 o'clock show and the person that was performing was having a quote-unquote party get-together after the show, would you expect there to be some type of food there? And I guess my real question is, if you were going to an 8 o'clock show with Jackie in Las Vegas, would you eat before or after the show?
I would eat before. Probably before the show. But nothing
big. You'd eat at 6. You'd go out to dinner at 6 and then go to the show at 8?
Yeah, a nice little light dinner, and then after the show, probably have some late night snacking.
Okay, so if I went with your theory, I would have at the party some alcohol and maybe some hors d'oeuvres.
Perfect.
And would you be happy with that?
Perfect. Perfect. Okay.
So now I got to find the venue.
Yeah. You can't just do it right there?
Well, you can, but I don't know. I feel like this is Las Vegas. I might want to do it, you know, out and about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Get out of the... Yeah, all right, I performed there. That was great. Now let's go out and hit Vegas.
Yeah. So I'm looking into doing a little party there. So that's the next party on the slate here. By the way, October 8th, I have to mention Las Vegas. It's a Sunday. You have no work on Monday. It's Columbus Day. So get your tickets at SebastianLive.com for that show. It's a big, big show. Got my father coming out. Got my cousins coming out. My buddies from Chicago. My mother, my father. Serafina's going to be there. How do you feel? And I've seen this before. And now that I have a kid, I don't know how this goes. How do you feel about the kid coming on stage for any reason? Not Serafina specifically, but if you went to Billy Joel concert and he brought his kids on stage, you go, okay, come on. Kind of feel it's kind of like, what do you think?
Absolutely. I feel that way. I feel that way 100%. When they do a press conference afterwards and they get the kid.
Yeah.
None of that, you know? I mean, come on. What are we, you know, like even here, like my daughter has come to here where we do the TV show, but I take her out and about on the stage. She runs around during the day around the set and checks it out when no one's there. But, you know, come on. You don't parade the kids around.
I don't like that when the sports figure's sitting there and they're doing the interview and the kid's, like, slobbering all over the microphone and hitting the water bottles off the table. It's like, all right, what is this, bring your kid to work day?
Yeah, And then it makes me think, if I'm a fan of you, am I really getting the best that you have to say right now, or are you half doing this, half?
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm just your friend and I'm trying to have a conversation with you and your kid's on your lap, that's irritating, let alone if you're telling me why you sucked and we lost today, and you got your little kid on your lap, and I can't let you, you know? Beat it.
Beat it. What are you going to be, like half athlete, half parent? Come on.
So what are you saying, man? Because, like, were you thinking about having that moment where you just walk the kid out in your arms?
No. What I'm going to do, though, is I want to take a family picture in the theater with nobody in there.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as, like, hey, everybody, bring Serafina out, and then she comes out with a bow on her head. It ain't going to happen.
My God. Can you imagine that, man? Holy shit.
Oh, God, my shirt's sticking to myself. This is ridiculous, man. This angle stinks. Maybe it's not even the angle. Maybe this is just the way I look.
Oh, well, this is, by the way, this is the last show we're taping. Lou, are you still taping right now?
Yeah, I'm not that happy with my results either.
It doesn't even matter. I mean, we're all off our game. I keep looking at the camera. I'm rubbing my beard. I'm like, I got gray in it. I'm like, Does that look cool? Do I look bum? It's like, what are we, what the fuck? These past two shows have sucked.
Exactly the reason why I'm in radio, so I don't have to look good.
Every time we try to have somebody come aboard and help us with the show, the minute they do one thing to it, we get all bugged out.
We're like, that's not what we do.
We don't, you know? They try to get us sponsors. They're like, say this. We get an email that we're going to say this. And Lou's like, are we doing the sponsor? And then we just get an email from Sebastian that just says, no. That's it. So, you know, we're not doing whatever sponsor that was, but meanwhile, Sebastian's got a chocolate announcement next week. For the past 2 weeks, I'm like, don't forget to tape, guys. Everybody get ready to tape. And now I'm like, shut him down. Shut him the fuck down. I'm waiting 2 years to go on the Stern show, and then I blast the whole studio with bad breath. I get about six emails saying I sucked. I mean, they say when you go on the Stern wrap-up show, that, you know, it's about Stern and the whole Howard Stern show. Yeah. But I was always under the assumption that, yeah, you know, that's what we say it is. But we go in and we go, oh, it was a great show today on Stern. And then I'll be talking about my shit, my life. Yeah. But, you know, you really talk about Stern. They're like, what did you think when Howard said, I was spitting blood in the men's room at a fucking Long Island Railroad with a gauze in my mouth on my way into Penn Station. What do you think, I'm studying the show? The fuck? What are we going to get to my shit? You know? And then I go to Gary. Lou, did you hear what I said to Gary? I go, Gary, I remember you and Howard used to run Central Park. I'd see you guys jogging. You'd always jog in the opposite direction of everybody in Central Park. And I got to tell you, Howard looked like a jogger. Whether you were there or not, he jogged. But you looked like you were only jogging because Howard was jogging. Do you remember me saying that, Lou?
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Then we go to break, and I look at Gary, and I go, oh, man, I hope you don't mind me saying that about you. And he goes, well, no, it wasn't me jogging. I've never jogged in my entire life with Howard. That was somebody else. But it's cool. I didn't want to throw you under the bus. And I go, oh, shit, I could swear that was you. No, it wasn't, but it's cool. And in my head, I'm like, well, then why wouldn't you just say on the air it wasn't me? And then we'd do a whole thing about that. Instead, you... Yeah, yeah. Me and my rotted tooth, just get me the fuck out of here.
Your bad tooth couldn't keep up with that fast-paced conversation. It was like a fucking contest of speed talking.
Yeah, I mean, nice guys and all, really was, but it wasn't like I thought I'd have a chance to. I thought what would happen is by the end of it, I'd be halfway home on the train, and I'd get a call from Howard going, I just happened to be listening in the helicopter going back to the Hamptons. And, you know, can you come on tomorrow? And then I'd be like, Howard, my tooth is killing me. And he's like, don't worry, we'll do a whole bit on the tooth. And like I literally... Because, Lou, you know the other guy who works over there, Jeremy, now, who runs Stern?
Yeah, sure. I've known him for years.
So he came over to say hi to me in the green room, right? Sebastian, he used to be like mine and Lou, and Brew was kind of like our boss when we were at Sirius. And now he's running Stern. And he's like, just wanted to say hi. How's everything? And I'm like, good. And he goes, so how's everything? What have you been up to? And I'm like rattling off some things I've done professionally, you know, and then like the fourth thing I said was that I had a kid. And he goes, oh, well, that's an interesting order of saying them. And I'm like, well, you know, my kid's not going to get me on fucking Stern, bro. Jesus, read between the lines. So I go, yeah, this is so cool. Just being in the green room here at Stern. He's like, oh, you've never been on the show? I go, no, bro, I've never been on. He's like, oh, wow. And then, like, we've talked a little more, and he leaves. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, take that wow, go back to your office, listen to me tear it up on the wrap-up show, and bring me on. And nothing, dude. I just, you know, took that train home with my breath and just right back to work. Missed my moment, Lou.
Yeah, nothing lack of trying, though.
But you went down a notch with me a little bit, Lou. I got to be honest with you, because you sent me a text saying, nice job. And I know it wasn't. And now it makes me question every time you say the cast was good, if you're lying to me or not.
Wait, when you were on the Jim Norton and Sam Roberts show, did I text you nice job?
Oh, I think you just sent me an audio version of Taps.
So then my word is good.
I did run into Norton, though. He said I could come back on any time on that one, unless he was just being nice to me in the hallway.
Yeah, dude, you're a host, man. Some people aren't the greatest guests. You're more of a host.
There's two big shows. That's okay. As long as you got on there, you mentioned the cast.
On this day in history, Pete did a good deed and predicted the future.
I got my car parked in a garage next to the Hyatt Hotel. And the car right next to me, a black Dodge Ram, got a big, fat, black wallet on the roof of the car.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the guy, whoever's car it was, he obviously put his wallet there. I opened it up, over $200 in cash, loaded with cards and everything else. Now, the problem is there's no attendant at Sunday night. There's no one working this garage at all. It's just the meter.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what the fuck, man? So I'm like, all right, so I walk over to the Hyatt with the wallet. And I give the wallet to the people behind the front desk. And I say, listen, I don't know if the guy's staying here. I got to go home. And I don't know what to do. Someone's going to steal his wallet. And they go, no. And as I hand it to the guy, he goes, that's your good deed for the day, huh? And I go, guy, for the day? This covers me for 4 months.
This is lifetime.
Bro, not only did I not take a dollar, I put it back in chronological order. Oh, he had the 20s mixed with 5s and 10s. I was like, what'd you just get back from a carnival? So I made it 20s, then the 10s, then the 5s, right? So then I go to the guy, you know what? Give me a piece of paper. Let me put a note on the guy's car so at least he'll know where his wallet is. So I write on the note, your wallet's at the Hyatt. As I'm walking down the ramp, I see coming up on the other side of the ramp the car that looks like the car that had the wallet on it. So I peek over and see that there's no car by mine. So I'm like, oh, it's got to be the car. And he's just about to leave. And I run over and I'm waving him down. Whoa. So they roll down the window. And it's two black guys, I don't know, about my age, maybe a little younger. Totally cool guys and stuff. They were just wondering what the hell I'm waving them down for. And I go, you lose a wallet? And the guy driving, he goes, what? And I go, did you lose a black wallet? And then he goes to look in his console. And he goes, what the fuck? Like that. And I go, yeah, man, you left it on the roof of your car. I got a note, and I showed him the note. I go, it's over at the Hyatt. I was, and he's like, what? And the dude is stunned, And I'm showing him the note, so I'm not lying. It's like, here's the note that says, I go, I was just about to put this on your window, and I saw you drive out. And he's like, oh, my God. Holy shit. I don't even know if I would have been able to get out of here right now, man. If I had my wallet, I'd give you some as right away. I could thank you. And, bro, I so bad when he said that. When he goes, right away, I could thank you. I just wanted to look him right in the eye and go, just vote Trump. You hope Trump will be doing this kind of stuff all the time. No one will need to take anyone else's money because we'll all have it. Don't you understand? Of course, I'm like, nah, bro, don't worry about it, man. And he's like, thanks so much. So anyway, that was that.
Oh, God, what a story. I mean, in some way, when you found it and you handed it in, don't you want to get the credit?
Dude, I was this close to putting my phone number on the note. Just because I wanted to call me and I could hear that. Oh, my God. I almost want to write, I left your wallet at the high and here's my number in case you want to call up and say, I'm the fucking king.
DJ Lou, do me a favor, slide this in somewhere, would you? Big announcement as far as the writing front goes. Monday, 9 p.m., Season 2, Kevin Can Wait, kicks off on CBS. That's right, man. We're following this Sheldon show, new show. And that's it, man. Season 2, we find out what happened to the wife. And we welcome Leah Remini for a full run, baby. So check that out. 9 p.m., CBS, Monday. Also, next weekend, the weekend of September 29th, I'll be doing 4 shows at the Arlington Draft House. Just go to the Arlington Cinema DraftHouse.com. Get tickets for that. It's going to be fun. Been there before. Looking forward to hitting the stage. Again, it's been too long. And then the weekend of October 20th, 4 shows at Gotham Comedy Club. That is big, and it's going to be fun. So get your tickets for that as well. All right, Lou, back to the show.
Great hang. Just one thing I want to plug is Saturday night. I'll be in Reading, Pennsylvania at the Santanier Performing Arts Center. SebastianLive.com for your tickets.
Nice. Just in case anyone's wondering about the future of the Pete and Sebastian show here, 50, count them, 50 guests coming October 8th to see Sebastian crush it at the Coliseum and party with him after. DJ Lou and Corielli didn't even sniff an invitation.
Wait, there's no invite. There's no invite. You come, you're in the party. But I do have to say this before I get off. There's a contest rolling right now on Twitter, Instagram, and my Facebook page. I'm going to pay for 2 airline tickets, your room tickets to the show, meet and greet with a tour of the Coliseum before
Holy
the show.
Shit, dude. That's so, huge. How do you enter for this?
Just go. I posted something on my Facebook page in regards to the contest. Tag a friend who you like to go. Tell me why you want to bring them. We're going to pick one winner. The winner's going to be announced October 1st. So go to my Facebook page, Sebastian Comedy. Also Instagram and Twitter at Sebastian Comedy. And enter to win that. So that's nice. The story.
Great hanging, boys.
Take care, guys.
Destination Bangor, Maine. Old worn out suit and shoe. Don't pay no union dues or smoke old stogies I have found. Short but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road.
The show has ended.
We're not doing whatever sponsor that was, but meanwhile, Sebastian's got a chocolate announcement next week.